The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
4 minutes after 10 o'clock. Good morning. Welcome. I am not Peter Boyles. Just not that cool. I'm John Caldera in for Pete, who's taking a well-deserved day off. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Been tossing around a couple different things. One, quick recap. So, out in Prague, Czech Republic. I still have a hard time not saying Czechoslovakia, because I was raised in Czechoslovakia. Went to a Roger Waters concert there. He was a member of Pink Floyd. The guy's a communist. And I'm not saying that just as hyperbole. No, this guy put on a show that was basically pushing communism, putting down America, putting down capitalism, the complete woke agenda. The whole thing was a temper tantrum. And he's putting it on in a former Soviet state that oppressed people for decades and decades and decades. A place where his music wouldn't have been allowed. And on this huge, massive screen, he actually puts up these big block letters, you know, Reagan, war criminal. Not Putin, not Stalin, who killed 20 million people. There are mass graves close to where he's singing songs. But Reagan's the war criminal. I just love that. Just remarkable stuff. He puts up these big block letters with the F-bomb. F, capitalism. Not F socialism, not F communism. While he's raking in money from capitalism. And it reminds me so much of Colorado. Why, you ask? Because that's the overlords we have here. Those are the same people. People who make their money, who are privileged thanks to the bounty of capitalism, who've had these great lives and are now absolutely destroying our way of life for socialism, because they can do so because they're rich enough thanks to capitalism. That's our governor. That's our progressive legislators. These are people who have enough. Those are the funders of the environmental movement. These are all rich guys who despise the system that made them wealthy. Isn't that funny? Isn't that sad? Evan called up the last part of the last hour and asked, how do we protest the open borders? He said, go to work on holidays. Biden is not going to care that you work on Memorial Day. He's just not going to care. If you have a thought, let me know. 303-696-1971. Chris has been patient enough. Chris, welcome. You're with John Caldera, 710 KNUS.
Good morning, John.
Morning.
We've already canceled holidays. Memorial Day, 4th of July, you can go down by a cheeseburger or a bag of concrete, get the neighbor pounding on his house or the new house being built next door on holidays, on Sundays. You know, they've been canceled for the people that have to work. You know, the employers want them to work. It's the elites. Those are the ones that actually have holidays, more holidays than we get.
Well, it's not just the elites. There are lots of people who have a barbecue on Memorial Day and Veterans Day and 4th of July. There are people who do work, and those people who work on holidays get time and a half and have a benefit for doing so. And that's fine by me. That's not a terrible thing.
I agree. I've had to do it myself.
I liked working on holiday. Hell, I still work on holidays. You'll find me on a microphone on a lot of holidays. My office is closed, but I'm still doing this stuff. I love it. I find work a glorious and beautiful thing.
But everybody needs a break.
I agree.
We need to, can I make a comment on the Roger Waters thing?
Yes, please.
I've been a Pink Floyd fan my entire life. Roger Waters, Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking, Chaos, Reason to Death, some of my favorite albums. He's gotten so political listening to his stuff in the last 10 years. I was offered a concert ticket to the show the new year. I wouldn't go just because I've gotten tired of his ranting and raving. He knocks America. He's not an American citizen. Don't vote. If you don't vote, I don't think you... I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. It's just... If you got something to say, you vote.
He has homes in both America and in England. He can't legally vote here.
Right.
It doesn't mean he can't have an opinion. He's certainly free to have an opinion. I don't mind that. He's certainly free to put on these goofy concerts. I went. I'm glad I went. I would not do it again. I'm glad to tell people what I saw. I'm glad to make the observation that he is a Colorado progressive. He is wealthy beyond belief. He's living a charmed life thanks to capitalism, thanks to the marketplace, and he is using all of his wealth of it to try to destroy it and take away the right for other people to better themselves through the marketplace, because he knows what's best for them. And he's willing to distort history to make people seem like victims. It's ridiculous. It's very, very sad.
It is. Sad to me to see him swinging so far that way and that political, where Pink Floyd music was, expressing yourself and freedom, Pros and Cons of Hitchhiking. That was one of my favorite albums of his. And about freedom, hitchhiking where you need to go or want to go. I wonder how this last Pink Floyd concert was here in Denver, if it was that way.
You mean back with the band? Well, apparently, so I read an article. And it was David Gilmour's wife put out a tweet that said something to the effect that Roger Waters is a misogynistic, anti-Semitic, went through on this rant of I can't say it on the air because it's an FCC violation. And then David Gilmour said, everything my wife said is absolutely true. And so, I found that fascinating. When leading up to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, apparently Roger Waters said Russia will never do that, although they have every right to. They've been provoked and provoked and provoked. So the guy is sympathetic and even supportive of the Russian invasion. In fact, so much so that after the invasion, he said so many pro-Russian things, he needed to back off and say that he doesn't support the Russian invasion, even though they've been so provoked. Really wild, wild stuff. What a shame.
Look at how much money he made in 1991 on his tour after the Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets me how many stupid leftists don't understand simple economics. How many stupid leftists are there trying to break down institutions that have benefited them so very much? Even our governor, who is a remarkably smart man, has given lip service to capitalism, yet at the same time signed so many bills into law that have damaged the marketplace here in Colorado, and even more so, the unsung story of the Polis administration is what he has done to the regulatory state by putting in rule changes and putting in appointees that have changed the bureaucracy, changed the rules, which don't require the legislature to okay them, to make Colorado one of the most unfriendly places to do business. And it will take years for that to manifest into reality. It's just ridiculously sad. Just ridiculously sad.
It is.
He
can't change anything.
And remember that Polis was
20 years from now
was the richest, if not one of the richest, members of Congress. So the marketplace has been very good to Jared Polis, and he knows it. And still, he doesn't stand up to the whack jobs in his own party. Why? Does he not want other people to be able to do the same thing?
No, because it puts more money in his pocket if he's doing it.
But he knows it doesn't work that way. It's not. It's not a zero-sum game. He knows the more people who make money, the more money he can make. He knows that capitalism helps bring other people out of poverty. He knows this. Yet he cannot, will not stand up to the crazy people in his own party. That's what I don't understand. And I don't understand why so many people inside of the Democratic regime here in Colorado will not stand up to the whack jobs inside their party. They know better.
They're making money.
Yeah.
It's all about the dollar.
Right.
It's the root of all evil today. So.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you so. All right, 303-696-1971. Where do we go from here? What do we do about this? For me, it was enlightening. It was just enlightening. You know how you have to get away from home to get a better view of home? The beauty of travel. To watch Roger Waters making money, having a temper tantrum, beating up America, beating up the people who gave him wealth. This is what is so amazing. You moron Americans who made me wealthy. You moron Americans who made me a star, who gave me homes in multiple countries, who allowed me to be this guy. You're war criminals. I won't call Putin a war criminal. I won't call Putin a war criminal. I will back Russia in it, and I'll go on. Let me switch gears a little bit. because one of my friends is a member of parliament in the Ukrainian parliament. And when I go out to Europe, I meet up with him and we touch base. And when we touch base, I try to understand what's going on there. And I'm strongly supportive of our support in Ukraine. And I get some people are skeptical. And I find out just how evil the Russians have been in their work in the Ukraine. And I want to tie a couple things together. I want to tie together what's going on in Colorado, what's going on in Ukraine. I'm going to take a quick breather here in a second, but let me put this out as a tease to stick around. Those of you who are old enough remember that Vietnam was one of the few wars, the first war, that really brought the war home visually. The Civil War was the first. The Civil War, we had photographs. Before that, we had illustrations, maybe paintings after the fact. The Civil War came and we actually had photographs of carnage. But it was Dan Rather who brought back images, film, and we saw it at home on the TV. It's what turned a lot of the popular opinion when people at home saw the ugliness of the battlefield. The Ukrainian war is a very different war, and we get to see some of that. It is a drone war. We hear about drone attacks. We see some of it during the nightly news or whatever the nightly news has become. One of the weapons the Ukrainians use on a very granular level are small drones. And they drop grenades from above. It's very hand-to-hand combat. And each one of these drones, like drones you might have cameras on them. And so these Russians think that they're safe, and they're not. They might be sleeping in a foxhole or walking around, and there's death from above as a grenade is dropped from a drone, and it's videotaped. I've seen many of these, and there was one in particular that has just haunted me that I saw about a week ago. I want to tell you about it, and I want to tie it into something that's going on in Colorado. Stay tuned for that. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for Pete. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. It's 27 minutes after 10. Good morning. Welcome. I'm John Caldera, in for the big man, Pete Boyles. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. All right, let me reset this. So I got to spend some time meeting with other freedom-minded, liberty-minded groups and organizations, and occasionally I get to do it in other countries, and I get a real perspective of what we're dealing with here. And I meet with a friend of mine who's a member of parliament in Ukraine, and they're dealing with some tough stuff. And it's a real war there. We forget it's a real war. And he needs help. And it's odd. They have to do this very odd dance when they speak to Americans. They all think that we all have a direct line of communication to Biden. We're so grateful for everything you've done for us. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then the frustration comes in. But you have to give us more. we can win this. We can win this if only you give us a lend-lease type of program. We're getting tired. We're getting very tired. But we just don't have the equipment. And I asked, what do you mean? And he said, well, think of the Abrams tanks. Great tanks. Thank you for sending us 34 tanks. That was wonderful. Great. 34 tanks. 34 tanks to stretch a 1,000-mile border to beat back this Red Army is nothing. He said, America has 8,000 tanks of these tanks, 8,000 of them. And it took a year to get 34 of them. We don't want your soldiers. We just need these tanks. We just need this equipment. And we can beat these guys back. We can win. And we can keep them tied up. And we can take back our land. And that's what we need. And he wanted to know why won't Biden do this? Why is he giving it out in dribs and drabs? And I couldn't answer that question. Do we want a stalemate there? Is there some sort of tactical reason we want to have a ongoing, slow, terrible war in Ukraine? Is there something there other than the fact that I don't think Biden has ever really wanted to stand up to the Soviets and now the Russians? He was very slow in opening up and wanting former Soviet countries to join NATO. He never wanted that. They were very old school. Even George H. Bush didn't want Ukraine to join NATO. What a shame. Anyway, this new small battlefield tactics include drones. The Ukrainians have lost perhaps 90,000 people, troops, and who knows how many more civilians. They don't know. The war crimes have been incredible. The atrocities done by Russian soldiers. The stories I've heard of gang rapes, vicious tortures of civilians, things they've done to children with their parents tied up in front of them, things that I cannot really speak about, are just horrendous. And I never really understood, you know, how this could happen or what kind of people the Russians are to do this. And I think I got some explanation by one of the videos that I watched, one of the battlefield videos, and I've seen a number of them, and they're pretty gruesome things. And if you don't have a stomach for them, you shouldn't watch them. So what happens are these drone attacks are videoed, and drones fly very high, and they're pretty quiet, and they can drop basically grenades on targets and kill Russian soldiers. And so there's really gory, detailed video of it. Now, it happens on both sides. And since there's tight controls of communications going into Russia, it's hard to get these videos in. During Vietnam, the reason I mentioned Vietnam is Dan Rather would go in, get the film, and then CBS News and Walter Cronkite would show it on the news, and you'd see American boys getting blown up and hurt, and Americans very quickly turned and soured on the Vietnam War and wanted our troops out. Well, Ukrainians hope that this video footage makes its way into Russia so that Russians also turn on the war. The difference is we have a free press. Russia does not. So they have to sneak in this video footage to try to make it clear that Russians don't want this. That Russians shouldn't want their kids to do this. So they're trying as best they can to sneak in these videos. All right, but this is the video that got me. This is the video that just shook my soul. So I've seen a lot of these videos where the grenade drops, Russian is hurt. I've seen Russians take their own lives with their AK-47s because they're dying. The one that got me, that explained how awful it is and why civilians are being brutalized. Three Russian soldiers walking down a dirt road, a drone drops a grenade, all of them fall to the ground. One of them is severely injured, obviously on his way of dying, writhing in pain. And so you expect the other two stand up, shake off their pain, shake off whatever shell shock they have, and go to their comrade who's down on the ground. You think, of course, to administer first aid, but they don't. Instead, they start stripping gear off of his body while he's writhing in pain. They steal his boots. They steal his boots while the man is still writhing in pain. They don't even put him out of his misery. They don't shoot him to stop him from writhing in pain. They're ripping stuff off of his body while he's still lying there, still alive, and then they run off. Now, Americans, if we are to believe the folklore, which I do, and every soldier I've talked to believes it, we will go in and rescue fallen soldiers. We will even risk our lives to go get the body of a fallen soldier who's died, to bring it home. Why are they doing this if you cannot trust your own soldiers? And then it hit me. A lot of the soldiers that they have are actually prisoners that they've released, hardened prisoners. We'll let you out if you go fight. These are people who have no compulsion. There's no cohesion among the forces. By the way, this is something the Soviets have done ever since World War II. Yeah, they've had Ukrainian soldiers, but all the officers were Russians in the past. They were slave armies. Here they've let rapists and murderers out of their jails to go fight in Ukraine. And here one of their soldiers is dying in front of their eyes in writhing pain. Instead of helping them, they steal from the man, rip him apart, absolutely rip him apart, and run. So the stories I'm hearing of gang rapes, war crimes to the civilians of Ukraine now start to make more and more sense. And the shame I feel that we are not doing more to help in Ukraine is real. and I'm talking to my friend. And he's looking at me, and he's saying, please, help us. Help us. One of the things that he's trying to do, by the way, is trying to help arm citizens in the Ukraine. Let me bring it back to Colorado again. You've heard of my love for the Second Amendment. And Americans don't get it. They don't get it. In Bulgaria, very close by, there have been a couple of terrible mass shootings. And so what has happened? What always happens in any place that has gun registration? They are collecting and destroying guns. They have said all semi-automatic, all guns are coming in. So you can still have a single action hunting rifle. All handguns, all semi-automatic rifles are being collected. And if you don't turn them in, you will go to jail for 15 years. So what we've seen in New Zealand, what we've seen in Australia, registration of guns leads to confiscation. So there's mass confiscation in Bulgaria going on. It's ridiculous. Serbia. And so the president of Serbia is collecting all the guns. In the Ukraine, the government has been emptying out their lockers and giving civilians guns for the first time ever. Here, take guns, because an armed country where civilians have arms cannot be occupied. Remember, the Japanese made a tactical decision, a strategic decision, that they were not going to try to invade our homeland because gun ownership was so high in the United States, it would be a insurmountable task. Switzerland, where near every home has a true assault weapon and 1,000 rounds of ammunition and people who are trained to use it, hasn't been invaded in 400 years. Ukraine does not have gun ownership, did not have gun ownership. And now this member of parliament that I know, he is desperately trying to get guns in the hands of civilians, particularly women, because their husbands are at war. And they have been the targets of gang rapes. They have been the targets of war crimes because they cannot defend themselves against these vermin, a lot of them who have been released from prisons to come and be savages in the Ukraine. Allow me to give one more instance of a conversation I had. Let me move from Prague to Ukraine, now to Lithuania. I have a colleague in Lithuania, wonderful woman, older woman. And they are scared to death of a Russian invasion. As long as I've known them, that's been their number one fear. I mean, a real fear. And I've asked her on a personal level, what are you doing about this? And she says, we, my family, my husband and I, our kids, our grandkids, we are all working on our bug out plans, our refugee plans. And I pushed her on this. I was like, what do you mean? And she says, well, we're developing how we retreat out of the country, where we are personally going to go. How do we get out? Do we go through here? Do we go through there? They literally are spending time trying to figure out when, and for them it's when the Russians come, how will they leave the beloved home that they've known forever? How will they get out of there and become refugees and get someplace they can be safe? And they are in a NATO country. And I said, you're in a NATO country? And she said, yeah. It'll be weeks before NATO could even respond. So they say it might be a wonderful deterrent. And the difference in the American mind and their mind, and I looked at her, and she looked at me like I had three eyeballs. I said, why don't you arm your civilians? You know, in the United States, we have the Second Amendment. And I know you all think we're crazy, but if you armed yourselves, it would cost nothing. $1,000 a family for you to have a semi-automatic rifle, 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and the training to use it right, you would be an unoccupiable country. And she said, what do you mean? We don't do that. And she said, I guess we could talk about that. And she looked at me like I'm crazy. And I needed to talk to yet another friend who was a European, this guy from England. And I said, I've talked to like five different people from five different European folks, countries, who are free marketeers, liberty-minded people, who are in jobs like mine. What is with you people? And he tried to explain it to me. He said, you Americans believe in individualism, that the individual is sovereign. You come from this world of conquering the West, and you believe in the Second Amendment. I do too now. This guy's in London. I'm now a member of the NRA. But for we Europeans, when it comes to protecting ourselves from invaders, we leave that to the state. It's in our blood. It doesn't come to mind. All of that to say, wait through this break, because I want to talk about the last bill that the governor just signed, which puts us on the exact path that Serbia and other European nations are on to disarm and make us vulnerable. I'm just here to make your morning. I'm John Caldera, in for Pete Boyles. Keep it right here. You're on 710 CAN-US. It's 10 minutes to the top. Good morning. Welcome. I'm John Caldera, in for Pete Boyles. What a treat to spend some of the morning with you. Thanks for putting up with me. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. I've been telling you about... Don't you hate it? Somebody goes on a trip and all they do is talk about their trip. And here I am standing in front of the pyramids. And here I am standing in front of the Sphinx. Oh, and here's the Uber driver. He was so nice. And here's what... I don't mean to be doing that, but I tell you, it is so telling to see that some of the problems we have are everywhere. And some of the problems we have are nothing in comparison. But if we don't change our ways, the problems we see in other countries will be ours. Will absolutely be ours. So I started our conversation this morning saying I went to a Roger Waters concert. For those who don't know, a guy, founding member of Pink Floyd. Pink being the operative word because the guy's a communist. And I don't mean just that he's lefty. No, this guy's a communist. The guy showed video of Ronald Reagan giving a speech with big block letters saying war criminal in Prague. This capitalist is raking in money in a former Soviet bloc country where he would never have been allowed, calling Ronald Reagan a war criminal, just miles away from mass graves from communists. He didn't call Putin a criminal. He didn't call Stalin a criminal. The whole show had banners on the big screen with F-bombs of F capitalism. Not socialism, not F communism. The whole show was a screed on American imperialism and capitalism. It was comical, but it made me realize I was back in Colorado. This guy was Jared Polis. This guy was the progressives in our state government. These were the socialists whose lives are fine and dandy thanks to our market-based system, thanks to the bounty that has been a relatively market-based system here that has allowed them the wealth to have the freedom to go ahead and destroy that system that's given it to them. And they don't see it. Extrapolate out from that, the funders who are going after the system that gave it all to them. The Pat Strikers of the world who inherited all of daddy's money and they fund the system against us and our liberty. Think of George Soros, who made his money quickly through money manipulation. The environmentalist out in California, Snyder, I forget the guy's name. Anyway, they're all the same. They made their money fast, just like a rock star, just like a rock and roll star makes his money fast. The people who make their money slowly, the guys who build buildings, the guys who build breweries and car dealerships and factories, those are the ones who tend to be more conservative. They're the ones who have to deal with all the regulatory headaches and zoning laws and OSHA laws and HR problems that the progressives create. No wonder they're a bit more pro-business. They didn't make their money overnight. What a lesson it was. Anyway, I went through and talked about how these countries that are being overrun don't have citizens with guns. And now, too late, Ukrainians are going, oh my God, if only we had an armed citizen population. The problem is, if you have registered guns, as they did in Australia and New Zealand and Canada, once they're registered, sooner or later they come knocking. In Serbia right now, they're coming knocking, and they are confiscating all the guns because there were some tragic mass shootings. And lo and behold, either give up your gun or you get 15 years in jail. Did nothing wrong. But in the Ukraine, they're going, oh my God, if only we had a system like in America where individuals had guns, none of this would happen. They wouldn't dare occupy us. Just like the Japanese said, we can't invade the United States during World War II, as a general said, because behind every blade of grass is a gun. You can't occupy it. We're unoccupiable. It's not about duck hunting. Well, the other day, the governor signed a bill outlawing so-called ghost guns. Give the left credit for their marketing. I've never heard the term until a year ago or so when Biden first said ghost guns. I heard Steve Fenberg, one of the senators, say, oh yeah, a ghost gun, you could build a gun in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I will give that man my entire life savings if he could build a ghost gun in 3 minutes. I am so tired of these people lying, ignorantly saying things they just don't understand. What are these so-called ghost guns? Yeah, they're guns that aren't registered. That's one of the first steps to making sure they can take all of our guns. I see the slow march towards Europe. All right, let me take a quick breather. We'll be back for our third and final hour right after this. And give me a call. Give me your thoughts on this. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for Pete Boyles. And you're on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.